Titled today's message, Seasonal Change. Do you love the changing of seasons? Do you love it when you go into your favorite restaurant and you have your favorite booth and chair and they've rearranged the whole restaurant? Do you love that kind of change? Men, do you love it when you go into your shop or shed and you go to look for your tool you need and it's not where it was supposed to be? Do you love that kind of change? Ladies, when you go into your shoe closet and dig through the pile of shoes. I mean neatly placed on the shelf where they're supposed to be and they're not there. Or you go in your pantry to get your whatever spice and it's not in its place. Do we enjoy change? Holistically as humans, we mostly don't like change. Like I have my routine and my system, and it might be chaotic disorganization, but I know where everything's at. Don't touch my stuff. We're typically resistant to change. When I'm counseling young couples getting ready to, that are engaged and getting ready to marry them, one of the first things I ask them is like, do you love your fiance? Yeah. Do you wish they would stay like this for forever? Absolutely. Like, oh, you're in trouble. Like the only constant in your marriage is going to be change. The only constant we have in life is change. It is continually changing and moving all around us, except for our great God. Our knowledge of who He is, our relationship and understanding of who He is constantly changing. But He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging, unwavering. So what we're going to talk about today is what is in my control to change and what is out of my control to change. Because often we get stressed out and worried and depressed and maybe even sad or miserable trying to change things that aren't our responsibility to change. We have highway cleanup after church today. I have the ability to change my sneakers into waterproof boots. And it looks like I'm going to need to. I can change that. I can change how I dress. I can change whether I go over the hill or send one of the kids through the wet brush to get that piece of garbage. But I can't control the rain. I can pray and ask God, but ultimately He's in control of that. The four seasons we have around us here in this part of the world, we get a pretty solid four seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. That's pretty awesome. I can't control the seasons. When the last frost happens, when the first 100-degree day happens, when the first leaves turn yellow in the fall, when the snow starts to fly in the winter, I have no control over that. What I do have control of is how I adjust or act accordingly. So I'm currently putting away my snow shovels. I've taken the plow off the four-wheeler. I'm getting out my lawn rakes and my lawn mower and my tiller. I'm adjusting to the change around me for what is my responsibility. I usually don't plant my garden in December, but I tried it this last winter. I'm just kidding. But I get to adjust to the changes happening around me. Much like parenting. You start in that first phase of parenting with a newborn. In that season, they need 100% of your attention. They are helpless. They will die without you. Literally. They are 100% your responsibility to take care of. But that season changes as they grow and develop. I remember our first two children. They had been potty trained and they could feed themselves. They could dress themselves. They could clean their own room. And my wife says, "What do you think about more kids?" I was like, "Diapers again? Really?" And of course we said yes. But my first instinct was like, that's going to be a big change back to a season we used to be in and are no longer in. Sometimes life catches us by surprise. It's like, whoa, I thought I went through this season, and now here I am again. But how do I respond to that? You know, I've got two kids that can take care of themselves. This third one's going to have to do the same. She better grow up quick. No, I have to adjust and do my part with what's going on around me. It's the same way in our spiritual life. There's a lot of things that are out of our control that we can't change. We have no influence on. But how we respond is what matters to God. What we do with what is within our control matters to God. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to look at several principles of God's word, some things we are responsible for. Isaiah chapter 40. Is that rain again? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. We'll read the passage and then come through and pick it apart. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's a lot of meat in this passage that tells us how to respond to change in our lives. The first line of verse 28, do you not know? What don't you know? Do you not know, of course, it's talking about, do you not know who God is? Do you not know how amazing he is? Do you not know how everlasting he is? But what else in your life don't you know? Do you not know? I was helping my son, who's our first child. He was probably, I would guess, 10 or 11. I was helping him with his homework one day. And he's getting frustrated. He's not understanding the concept. And he just blithes up. I'm stupid. I can't do it. Blah, 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 blah. And I stopped and I said, are you stupid? And he's like, oh, Dad thinks I'm stupid, Mom. Dad called me stupid. I'm like, no. Come back. Come on. Let's talk about this. I said, I asked you a question. Are you stupid? He goes, no, you said I was stupid. I said, no, I asked you a question. Are you stupid? Of course, it took him a bit to get me an answer and realize it was an actual question. He says, well, no, I'm really smart. I said, okay. So we've established you're really smart. You're learning a new concept you've never known before. So it takes a little bit of a learning curve to get and understand. And that's why you're in school, to learn and develop and grow. So do you not know? I can learn. I can develop. I can grow. I don't have to stay where I currently am. So hopefully you know that today. Do you not know that you are made in the image and likeness of the Lord God Almighty? And you have access through the Holy Spirit to his wisdom and his understanding, and his knowledge. So the situation, the change in life that might arise, I might experience something I've never experienced before. I might be up against a new challenge, a new hardship that I've never faced before. And we can sit and say, I'm stupid, I give up, I quit. Or we can say, God, I'm at the end of my road, but I know you have so much more in store for me. Give me your wisdom, your counsel, your understanding. I might need hip waders instead of just boots. Sorry, I'm distracted easily. I hear the rain. I love hearing rain on a roof, but not when I have to do highway cleanup after church. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast. We'll just turn our trash bags into ponchos. Right? I can't change the rain, but I can change my attire. Where are we at again? Oh, yeah. Verse 28, back on task. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? We have turkeys around our house, or at least in the general neighborhood. But like, if you're not out there at daylight, you don't get to hear them gobbling. But if you go out on the porch right at daybreak, it's... I love it. I know I'm easily amused. It's all right. It's how God made me. Yes, Lord. We will clean your earth. I just love it. I get a kick out of, like, I'll get up at 4 in the morning and go into the woods to sit under a tree and just to listen to all the birds fire off at daylight. I love it. But I have to be there to hear. So have you not heard? You're here this morning. You're hearing of the word of the Lord, what it speaks to us. So I say kudos to you. Thanks for getting up early on your day off. I've been at baseball. Yes, another level. For those of you online, it is downpouring here, and it's quite loud. God is watering his earth as he sees fit. I've been at state baseball all weekend, and it's been late nights and early mornings and corralling kids and making sure we're in our motel rooms on time and not out running around the city. So it would have felt really good. I even joked with my wife as we're waiting in the coffee stand line to get her coffee this morning. I said, wouldn't it be nice to just go home and snuggle in and maybe watch church online? Just telling you where I was at this morning. That's just a change in schedule. And I have to come to hear. I have to, even if I'm at home, I have to tune in online to hear the word of the Lord spoken. What is the Lord saying to his people? What is the Lord speaking to us in our daily lives? Is I have to show up to hear how to navigate the changes that are coming my way. So I celebrate you guys this morning. And every day you wake up and come to church and hear the word of the Lord. It's a discipline in our lives that builds and grows and develops us, so we could go through the changes that life would bring our way and walk through it honoring God and bringing him praise and glory as we do so. Still in verse 28, the Lord is the everlasting God. He is everlasting. He is never failing. He's not going away. He is ever present. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Your God is everlasting. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired. God is always strong, and he is always aware of your situation. I know I've had some moments in life where I'm like, God, where are you at? Like, God, do you see me? Do you care? And I come back to passages like this, and I might not see that he's there. I might not feel that he's there. I might not hear that he's there. But I know that he's there because his word is true, and he promises to always be there, always be looking down on us. And I have to say, okay, Lord, so what do I need to learn in this situation? What do I need to learn in this change in my life? And the last line of that passage, or verse 28, and his understanding no one can fathom. God is so far beyond us. His understanding, we just can't fathom it. And it's hard to imagine something you can't understand. Right? Like spaceships, rockets going to the moon. I have no understanding of that. Very little. Very little. Like, if I built a rocket to go to the moon, you probably don't want to be the captain on it. But people have that understanding, that knowledge. God's understanding is so far beyond us, but we can tap into it through His Holy Spirit. We ask God to give us supernatural wisdom and understanding. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Okay, there's a black Ford F-150 with the window down outside. It's probably too late, but, you know, you can stop the rest of the rain. So He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. The only thing I don't like about this passage is I have to be weary and weak to receive what He has in store for me. Being weary and weak is not a bad place to be. The Word of God tells us in these moments, we now have access to receive from the throne room of God His strength, His rest, His power. And then it's like, I don't have to do it on my own. I can draw from an outside resource, my Heavenly Father, and say, God, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm weak. And I can't go anymore on my own. I need You. He says, okay. So we have to recognize, like, there are seasons in our lives that we can't do it alone. We're going to be weak and weary and tired. And God says, I will meet you in that season. But you have to come to Me and ask of Me. And then you will receive from Me. Isn't God so good? Absolutely. Verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. We have human limits. Like, we are limited. Even the young, the youthful. I watched young men as the weekend went on through baseball get more tired and more weary. We're just humans. We have human limitations. We have to know that within ourselves. But the good news is this. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. I'm not renewing on my strength. I'm renewing on His strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I've had the Lord carry me through some pretty tough seasons of life where mentally, emotionally, physically, I was at the end of my rope. Like, God, I can't get through this without You. And at the end of the season, I would look back and go, how did I make it through that season? When we had our first child, I almost lost my wife and my child. And it was a long road of health, getting them both well and healthy again. And it was up multiple times every night with our new infant and taking care of my wife, making sure she gets the rest she needs to get healthy again. And I was building houses at that time and working, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day, physical labor, construction. And I looked back at that season of life, like, how did I make it through? Because I remembered celebrating the night my son only got up 5 times. And I was like, yes, this is an amazing night. He was only up 5 times. So you people that complain about 2 or 3 times a night, I'm like, ooh. And I'm like, you. I'm happy for you. When I look back physically, I didn't have the sleep I needed. I was getting 2 or 3 hours a night for not just weeks or months, but years. About 3.5 years, life was like that for us. And then our second infant came along in that period, and she was like, day 2, sleep through the night, maybe up once. It was awesome. But I look back at that period of our life, and like, that was all God. I was a youth pastor on top of building houses at that time. Doing ministry, was coaching wrestling during that time. Yeah, it was a busy time of life. But for God. Not on my own strength, but in His strength, I was able to do that. God's strength and anointing gives us what we need to carry out the change that is set before us. Don't go through the changes of life on your own. There are some tough changes. Some are easy, like change the oil in your car every 3,000 to 10,000 miles, depending on what oil you're using and engine you have. Right? Those are the easy changes. Oh, wow, a tsunami of life just crashed into our home. What do we do now? Unforeseen circumstances that change seasons of our lives. We draw on God's strength and anointing to carry us through. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at another passage of God's word and how he helps us to respond correctly to changes of life. Or I guess he gives us a roadmap to respond correctly. He doesn't make us. He shows us how. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. It is pouring rain outside. The second half of that was added. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That is a rich passage. I read this passage often and teach from it occasionally throughout the year several times. It's, to me, if we could just live that, what an amazing human being would we be? How much better off would the world be if each of us lived just that passage? And I'm like, I look at this whole Word of God and like, I'm just trying to be this one passage. Like, how am I ever going to be all that's in here? But the cool part is we get to grow and develop and change in the seasons of life with Jesus Christ. And he allows us opportunity to stay engaged and re-engage in life and growth and development with him. And we get to continue in that. I'm like, I look at this passage and I go, well, I'm better than I used to be. And then I'm way, way better than I used to be. So I'm growing and developing in it, but I haven't arrived. I wish I could say I had. I'm just trying to live that first line. Rejoice in the Lord always. I rejoice in the Lord often. I rejoice in the Lord a lot. I rejoice even when it's pouring rain and we have to go outside and play in it. I mean, get to go outside and play in it. Get to. But there are moments when life gets overwhelming and I don't take my cares to the Lord and I don't present my requests and petitions to him and I carry that burden alone and I let the weight of the world build up upon me where it's not supposed to be. And in those moments, I don't rejoice. I get grumpy. I get angry. I might get cross with someone. I might say things I shouldn't and then I have to go back and repent and ask forgiveness. But God is so patient and kind and forgiving. He is so good. So verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Even when things don't turn out like we would like. We went to the state championship tournament this weekend. Ended up fourth place. Woo-woo, yeah, that's a big accomplishment. But what we really wanted was first. Right? Our ladies, the softball team, went and did the same thing. They ended up fourth in the state. It's pretty awesome. I haven't heard about tennis and track, so I don't have any results on those. But we rejoice in that, like, look at what we did this season. You know, we beat two of the teams that placed above us at state throughout the season. One of the teams above us, we lost 2 1-point games. And we were in it. We didn't get thumped by anyone. We didn't get blown out of the water. We were right there with the top teams in the state. And holistically, there's 105 teams in the state. And only 5 teams go home happy at the end of state tournament. Only 5 get to say, we went all the way. So what a great accomplishment that we've achieved over the season, throughout the year. Sometimes in our own lives, we have goals and we set them. And when we don't meet him, it's like, oh, we failed, and there's no reason to rejoice. And like, we have lots of highlights from our season. We have lots of great moments with the kids and growth and development and skill and talent and ability. And they worked hard, and they fought hard every game we played. They gave it their all, I felt. If they didn't, they fooled me. But that's all we can do. And then we rejoice in our successes, whatever they may be. And sometimes we don't hit the marks or the goals that we want to in life, but we should still rejoice in what the Lord has done and the progress we've made. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Our gentleness should be evident to all. The way we treat people, the way we handle people, the way we talk to people, the way we engage in conversation, even conflict with people, should be gentleness, because gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit that God gives us. And it's not weakness, it's gentleness. It's like when my young daughter Brielle was 4 years old, and, Dad, let's wrestle. I could, most days I could beat her. Like, I could come in, I outweigh her by 150 pounds or so. I could just lay on her and crush her, and I won, ha-ha. But no, we would wrestle and roll around the floor, and she would almost pin me. That's gentleness. Engaging with people at their level. Not overpowering them because you have the power to do so. But our gentleness should be evident to all. Have you ever engaged with a conversation and somebody just has to win the conversation? No, that shouldn't be us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In the seasonal changes of life, be gentle. Another word for that is meekness. Having all the power and ability but restraining oneself. Meekness, not weakness. In verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Anybody ever deal with anxiety, fear, anxiousness? I do sometimes. And then I remember, oh yeah. This isn't mine to carry. This isn't my responsibility. Now, if I keep plowing my driveway this time of year, that's on me, right? I got to change with the seasons. Like, there is a time for the plow and there's a time not to plow, right? We have what we're responsible for in our situations and circumstances that life would bring us into. But what do we do rather than be anxious? We go to God with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in our heart, and make requests to him. God invites us to make requests to him. Like, he knows. He knows what we need before we speak it or utter it. He already knows, but he invites us because he wants to engage in relationship with us. He says, come to me. that I may hear your request. God, I'm so thankful you're in control. God, I'm dealing with these issues. God, I don't know. We have these bills stacking up. I don't know how we're going to pay them. God, give us a resource. Give us a solution. Give us understanding. And God, I thank you that you're in control. God, I've honored you with my time, my talent, my treasure, according to your word. God, I know that you can make a way when there seems to be no way. God wants to hear that from you. He doesn't want that to be on a back shelf in the memory bank of your mind. He wants to hear from you, and he invites us to engage in conversation with him. That is in our control. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love experiencing the peace of God. Like in a situation you should not have peace, and God's peace just comes in supernaturally and you're going through it like, how am I doing this good and what's going on? And then a light bulb kicks on and you're like, oh, this is the peace of God. It's part of experiencing that peace is it's beyond our understanding. Sometimes we have to give up our right to understand to experience his peace. Sometimes we will drive ourselves crazy trying to understand something that is not ours to understand. And God just says, I want to give you my peace that goes beyond your understanding and just to be okay and trust in me that I got it. Be okay, trust in me that I'll take care of it and you don't need to understand. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for us because we want to understand. God, I need to see how it's going to work before I believe that you're going to make it work. Does that have peace or anxiety? Anxiety, absolutely. God wants to give you his peace through whatever seasonal change is going on in your life. God wants to give you his peace and say, hey, Arby, just sit back. I got this. I got you. Here's some things that are in your control that you can take care of. You can rejoice always. You can bring your prayers and petitions to me and requests to me with a heart of thanksgiving. Those are in your control. The rest of the situation is beyond your understanding and out of your control. Come rest in my peace. Let your soul be refreshed in me. We have to sit and do that. The last piece of that, verse 7. He will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need our hearts and minds guarded. I think about how protective some parents are, and they get the light socket covers and the plug-in covers and the doorknob little funny door latches for kids, and they get the cabinet locks and drawer locks, and all the knives go, I don't know, they disappear somewhere. Like we're so protective in the physical nature, but what are we doing to protect our hearts and minds? What are we putting up for safety nets over our children's hearts and minds? As Jesus says, he will guard us, our heart, our minds, in Christ Jesus. Are we using that? Are we accessing that? Are we using the wisdom and instruction that he gives us? I'm not big on child safety locks, personally. We just teach them what they can and can't get into. Now, some people maybe don't agree with that, and that's fine. You can do what you want. But the changes that come our way sometimes are in our control to put those safety measures in place. Sometimes we can choose to or not to. One of our safety measures for our children is they don't get phones until they're 18. I know I'm old school. But like nobody needs access to my kid 24/7. I'm protecting their heart and mind by not allowing people to influence and speak into their lives daily 24/7. And we have lots of other measures we put around our lives and our household in that regard. But what do you put into place in your life. And different seasons call for different measures. Where are you at in life? What boundaries do you need to set in place to guard your heart and mind? Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think also if we think about such things, we could put in there, do such things. Do whatever is true. Do whatever is noble. Do whatever is right. Do whatever is pure. Do whatever is lovely. Do whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do it. Do it for the glory of God. And verse 9, the last of this passage. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In verse 9, know this, you can learn. You need to learn to receive. You need to learn to hear. You need to learn to see. You need to learn to go and do. In our seasonal changes, we have opportunity to learn, to receive, to hear, to see, and to go and do. That's our responsibility during those changes. Are we taking advantage of it? God is with you in every season. No matter what season you engage in, no matter what season you encounter, God is with you always. One last story before we go. So there I was. It's one of those stories. I was probably 16 or 17. We were in the mountains cutting trail for the outfit I worked for, getting, you know, trails ready for the hunting season in the fall. And we were in this trail. Every day we would ride out this trail and go down and cut further in until you just cut all day and finish, and you ride back to camp, and next morning ride back out and cut further. One of those. So we were on this trail in and out twice a day, in and out. I don't know, about day 4 or 5, we're riding on the way back out. We just cut trail all day, and we're pretty high in the mountains. We're up above tree line, so it's big open glades and meadows and not hardly any trees or brush. And we're riding along, and all of a sudden I feel my mule tense up. And I'm like looking around like, is there a bear? Is there a moose? Like, what's going on? And like, I don't see anything. And like, I look in the trail, and about the time I spot it, my mule decides to just eject from the trail. And there's a rock about the size of a softball in the trail. I'm assuming that's what buggered her. Because like they remember every pebble and leaf and any strand of moss that hits the trail. You come back out, it's new. They're like, they snort at stuff they don't like. Right, Ron? And this mule's about as green as I am. You know, I'm pretty green to stock. It's my first or second year working with stock, and we're both green. And she jumps and does a 90 degree and just bails over the hill. And it's like Man from Snowy River type stuff. And like, luckily I was real young and agile, but I'm thinking, do I bail or stay? And as she's barreling down this hill, and it's like steep, like my feet are up by her ears and I'm back in my saddle like it might have been Man from Snowy River remake. And I'm like looking at the ground, and there's like boulders everywhere from like this size to this size to this size, and she's just barreling down this meadow, and I'm just pulling back on the reins and like trying to woe her up, and she's like not having it. She's just going, and I'm like, we're gonna die. Like, this is a come-to-Jesus moment. We're going to go meet him. It was intense. It was probably one of the most frightening moments of my life. And I've been in some pretty frightening moments. And all of a sudden, there's this little bench probably 200 yards down the hill. It just benched out for maybe 50 feet and then dropped again. She hits that bench and just hits the brakes. It's like, where do we go now, boss? Of course, after I gathered myself, and like, we're still alive. We made it. And I was like, that was a mistake, mule. Like, I turned around, pointed her right back at the trail, and put my boots in her ribs, and we charged up almost as fast as we came down. We got back in the trail, and I'm like, looking, I'm like, there were two other guys with me, and they just sat in the trail and watched the whole show. Of course, they couldn't do anything. But I'm like, did a grouse blow out? Was there an animal? Like, what went on? They're like, oh, it had to be that rock. And she was just learning to lead out and be a lead mule, so they're a little cagey when you're first training them there. But yeah, it was just a dumb little rock in the trail. Something different. That hasn't been here the last 4 days. Sometimes our seasonal changes of life sneak up on us like that. And if we don't handle them appropriately according to the Word of God, we blow and go. And we can, like, I believe it was just the hand of God that saved me through what we were. I mean, it was an ugly hillside with rocks everywhere. And how we managed to stay on our feet was, in my opinion, the grace of God. But man, if we don't fasten ourselves to the Word of God and live life according to His plan and His direction, we can come up to that seasonal change in life or that maybe even minute rock in the trail. Well, that wasn't here before. And we can totally mess it up. And we can totally just jump and go the wrong direction. And then we have a mess to clean up or a little more work to get back to the place we once were. Because when we hit the trail, she was frothed up and she was... But like, I wasn't letting her have a break going up that hill because I wanted her to know this is not acceptable. Like we don't behave this way. Well, sometimes God has to chasten us when we get off the trail. He says, Arby, we don't behave this way. Like, you represent me. And that was unacceptable. Sometimes He has to discipline me back to the trail, to the point, and I get back there and go, oh, that was just a rock. It was just a rock. We can kick it out of the trail and keep going, Lord. I totally overreacted. I totally did not handle that season of change well. So change is the one constant we're going to have in life. Things are always changing. But how we respond to the change, how we act in appropriation to the change matters as we represent God and who He is. Because we are His representatives throughout the earth. We are hopefully His example to the world around us of His great love, of His great forgiveness, of His great compassion, of His great gentleness, of His great loving kindness. That's what we are called to be, even through the seen changes and unforeseen changes. We should be constant. We should be steady. We should show up. We should engage. We should be all that God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. God is good. If you didn't get anything else out of today's message, know that. God is good. We serve an amazing Creator. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Your Word that gives us governances and direction and guidance for our lives. And God, we ask that You would, God, just draw from Your Word, God, as we read it, as we hear it, as we study it, God, the direction You would have for us, God, that we need to implement into our lives, God, that we could more appropriately and more steadily handle the changes that come our way, God, that we would be okay with change, God, that we would respond in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to You. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.